Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
30 KNSS. Live Sunday nights. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. If you ever miss an episode, you can always visit knssradio.com. You'll find links to podcasts of all our previous episodes there. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So clearly, if anybody who's ever served with him knows that Stephen Johnson is the best-dressed legislator in Topeka. I mean, this guy, nobody wears a silk tie and scarf or pocket square better than Stephen Johnson. Representative Johnson of Assyria announced his campaign for the Kansas State Treasurer on Wednesday. He served in the Kansas House since 2010 and currently serves as Chairman of Insurance and Pension Committee. Stephen, thank you for joining us this evening, my friend.
John, my pleasure. Great to hear you again. Good to work with you here, just as I got to work with you in the legislature.
Well, you know, I had to kind of give you a little nod, because every time I'd come down and I'd have like my new Trump tie on, and I'd think, okay, I'm going to wear my Trump tie. And then you'd come down and, you know, with the, I don't know, it always seemed like you were with satin spats, and you know, it was like, oh my God, he always one upped you.
I just had a different Trump tie on. That was all.
So let me ask you, you know, I think we both would agree that Lynn Rogers is not the right person for the job. What prompted? I mean, I would have thought you'd be trying to move to either like the state Senate or into House leadership. What prompted you to run for state treasurer?
Well, you know, I thought of different things that are there, but a couple of key things. And the first one is what you mentioned. It's we need to return the state treasurer's office to Republican hands.
Oh, amen. So amen. Without a doubt.
That is the first thing. And I had folks begin talking to me about that last summer when Jake LaTurner was running for Congress, and how that might play out, and how we make sure that we capture that as quickly as possible. So that planted the seed to start looking at that, and then the analysis, and just fitting the things that I've worked on in the legislature and the experience that I had prior to the legislature are a really solid fit with the treasurer's office and being the CFO for Kansas. And for those reasons, I wanted to throw my hat in the ring. It was great hearing you talk with Attorney General Schmidt about returning an even more important office to Republican hands. And this is the same effort as what will be going on in the governor's race.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the time in the legislature, because I got to ask, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask a little bit about your time in the legislature. And in part, your voting record. I looked at your website. It said one of the, I think it was like the second thing on the banner, said, as treasurer, I'll look out for taxpayers and work hard to stop wasteful government spending. You know, one of the few times, you and I agreed on a lot of things. In fact, when I remember singing in the well, or not in the well, at the fifth floor with you at one point. But
yes.
As chairman of House Tax, You were also the architect of the 2017 tax bill that retroactively raised income taxes by $1.2 billion. You also voted for the 2015 sales tax increase. So how is that looking out for taxpayers?
Well, there's a balance to all of those. So I'll come back to, in particular, the point that you are looking at from the website and how that fits. But on those tax bills, both are regrettable, no question about it.
I agree.
As you may recall, in 2015, there were a few of us that started working to try and close a smaller but growing issue that we had in the tax policy. And that was the challenge, is unfortunately, with a balanced budget amendment, you have to have a certain amount of revenue to pay the bills that the state commits to. And there's two pieces to that. One is keep spending down and not voting for budget increases. And if you look at the Appropriations Committee that I sit on, I will be one of the three budget hawks that does not vote for spending increases. And you check around and ask folks on that.
Okay, but I got to push back on that, in that spending has increased 1.8. The general state but general fund budget has increased $1.8 billion since 2015. It's 26% has been the increase in our state general fund. So clearly we're not cutting our spending. So that's why you had to raise taxes, is because we didn't stop spending. Yeah. You know, I mean, the one reputation I had among others up there was that I wanted to cut spending.
You absolutely did. You were very consistent on that. And I lost several of those votes in the Appropriations Committee. Sometimes there are only three. Sometimes we get a majority of us that'll vote things down. But it's tough on that end. To the increase in spending, one of them is education due to the lawsuit. It would be useful to look at how else could we drive K-12 funding outside of the lawsuits, but that's the biggest part. The one that I will take ownership on in the increases over that time frame was meeting our CAPERS liability, in that I don't know another way around that. We changed the liability going forward, which is a massive change for taxpayers. That alone is in the billions of dollars that is decreased from what was going to be spent by not continuing the same program and reducing the risk to the state as well as the payments. Nonetheless, we had not made the required payment since sometime before 1992.
Correct.
In the last 3 years, we have met the actuarially required payments. Unfortunately, that is more money. But if you look at the cost to paying now or the cost to continue to borrow at 7.75%, you're ahead to knock that out.
Yeah, and we have improved CAPERS without a doubt. When you came in, even when I was in the legislature, I think we were in the 50s, 50% funded. We were second to last in the nation. Now I think CAPERS is funded at about 60% thereabouts. So it's definitely improved.
71.
Wow. See, so you guys have done yeoman's work.
To 71. It has been great on reducing that liability for the taxpayers, and that is a big one that relates to the treasurer's office directly. So
then one more question I need to ask you about that, and it's along the same lines. The other part of that statement was stopping wasteful government spending. In 2017, you voted in favor of expanding Medicaid under Obamacare. Later that session, you voted to override Governor Brownback's veto of expanding Medicaid. And then in 2019, you voted a third time for Obamacare, for expanding Medicaid. How does that stop wasteful spending? You know the cost is roughly a little over $1 billion over the first 10 years for Medicaid expansion.
Yes, and what I will grant you on that is a fear of participating in the federal funding, just like we're seeing the maintenance of effort requirement that is being added to education again this year. Worrying about when the goalposts change is the biggest concern that I have on that. To the other side, there is a difference district to district, and in a more rural district with the hospitals in this area, the opinion on that issue does differ from those of you who I would like to consider friends in the Republican Party.
And we are.
On that particular issue. The point that they have is, our surrounding states now have that, and being the law of the land and competing for healthcare workers makes it more challenging. But I understand the concern on that issue, and it's not one that is likely to go forward in the current legislature.
No, and I think we're fortunate. I think you're right. You made a reference to the Attorney General and Dr. Collier. Either way, or whomever ends up being our nominee, I think as long as we get a Republican on the second floor, that issue will be, you know, a dead on arrival as well. And that's,
we'll continue to,
yeah, and I think you're right. I think we have to stand strong on that. Let me ask you, there's a bunch of things that I think that the state treasurer, some, you know, I think Ron Estes was a phenomenal state treasurer. I think Jake LaTurner did a great job. I'm not hearing anything out of Lynn Rogers. I don't know if he's just phoning it in or trying to figure out what his next job is going to be, because you and I both know that he's not going to win this office at a general election. There's got to be some things that we can do in that job that can make it more, like you talk about, more of a good steward of the Kansas taxpayer.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things that can happen, and one of the things that we're looking at is the Sunset Commission, similar to Texas, that would evaluate government programs, because they get created and they never go away. They just grow. We need to dive into the agencies and look at the effectiveness of programs and look at where we can stop wasting the taxpayer money. And that goes entity to entity. It happens within the treasurer's office also. What is being done in the 529 Learning Quest plan that might be redundant to the regions? Let's make sure that each thing is adding value and is a program that we need in the state for activities that we do. But it's much broader than that. And I think one of the things the executive branches can do is set the legislature up to be more successful in the budget process. I have wanted to look at a way where when the budgeting process comes around, you say, okay, our number is $8 billion, whatever the general fund number is. That is it. We're going to divide it down. K-12 is going to get 5.4 from the court. How do we set that by each of those budget areas and say, okay, do we each as budget chairs in these areas agree that this is our number? Great. Here's how we're going to start. Rather than having the budget chairs work their best effort with the agencies and then bring the process of best ideas to the budget committee, right, rather than staying focused on what do we have and how can we help identify areas that can be stopped.
I think it's a great idea.
So that would be the goal, and that would be working with the budget director and the governor's office and the legislature to continue. The treasurer is going to be the custodian of those funds as they pass through, but I think it's useful in each of the cases, whether it's the CAPERS fund or the unemployment funds, to look at, and in that role, make sure that we're finding a way that we continue to manage and decrease the amount that is required for the various areas where we can. Granted, there are some areas we may have to put more money in, but that's one of the things that both of those offices will work through too.
There's a couple of ideas I know that have been supported in the past. You've supported, you know, the idea of a review of exemptions, you know, sales tax exemptions. You've also proposed a bill in the legislature to create a sunset commission that would audit government programs, and basically similar to what we came up with, that idea of, you know, hey, come in and make your case why you have a sales tax exemption, and if you can't, you lose it. I think your idea of a sunset commission on government programs is another great idea, because you're right in that these agencies, it's always the assumption is we're just going to get more money, and now we have to come in and just ask for it, as opposed to, no, come in and justify your existence or you lose it.
Exactly. So that is exactly the process. And that was what I was just referring to before in terms of working through that process in the Sunset Commission and making sure that I think there's some complete programs that we can look at reducing and eliminating. Many times they'll be small, but that's where we have to start.
Well, you know, I think a lot of this comes down to doing, you know, simple things like performance-based budget requirements, that kind of stuff. I assume as well you do not support the governor's plan to reamortize CAPERS. That would just be a permanent debt that we'd have to assume.
I do not, and I am the key thing standing in her way on that. And
keep it up.
I've told her exactly what it is. It is simply there is a time that you reamortize, but method is key. And the problem with the method proposed is it puts us back where we were building the debt. You need a plan that continues to pay it down. It doesn't have to be on one decade of taxpayers, but you can't either let them off the hook or overtax them in that period. It has to be a consistent plan, and that's one that I understand very well.
Well, brother, I wish you all the best. I think this is going to be – I have not heard of anyone else who's announced yet that they're going to get in the race, although it's a Republican primary. I wouldn't be surprised if at least one or two. But at this rate, I wish you all the best. If folks are interested, if they want to volunteer, if they want to help or donate, they want to visit STEVEN. I want to make sure they got the spelling right. JohnsonKS.com, correct?
That's exactly right, StephenJohnsonKS.com, and then that's the same handle on Facebook to catch a few of the things that are going on as well that route.
Appreciate you, my friend. Carry on the fight, and do keep standing up to Laura Kelly on that reamortization. That's a complete boondoggle. I'm glad you're there to fight her on that.
We've got that one well in hand, so thank you much, and the Treasurer's Race is so exciting, but I really appreciate the chance to make people aware of what we do need to do for the state.
All right. Thanks, brother. Good luck. Carry on the fight.
Thanks. You bet.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Give us a call. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.